So I'm like, all right, I'll put this on. And of course, the boys are walking through the room.
Oh, no.
I wasn't expecting a nutsack shot.
A very poorly poorly pixelated nutsack.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I didn't expect that at all.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Good evening, Ted, on another Friday night for episode 135. We have some beer, we have some trailers, we have some week, we have some watching. What's going on with you right now, other than talking to me?
Other than talking to you, always one of my highlights of the week.
Yeah, likewise.
It was an eventful work week. I think we just pounding out some year-end stuff. I know the year ended like a month ago, but still.
Okay, so you work in the TV kind of media space or whatever. When you say the year ended,
yes,
you're more like, is there like a fiscal year for you guys, or what do you mean?
Exactly. Yeah, the fiscal year ends at the end of September. I think, generally speaking, October 1st is the beginning of the fiscal year.
Now, is that because of the way the networks do seasons and stuff?
I don't know whether it comes from television or the parks, or I don't even know. I wouldn't know why it is the way that it is. I don't know whether it's a media thing or whether it's a Disney thing.
Are other networks on the same fiscal year as you guys, or?
I think they are, but I, you know, it's a chicken and egg thing. I don't know which came first and who's driving what, you know? So it's hard to say.
You got to go back to like 1931 or something to figure it out.
No need for that kind of time travel.
That's right.
So for the past 7 weeks, I'm dead last place in both of my fantasy football leagues.
Jeez.
And I think the only reason I want to invent time travel is to fix my fantasy football. Because that's the most lame thing. I was like, I just want to travel through time. You know, just go back a year and then figure this stuff out, because I'm just sucking so badly.
Well, last week just made me so mad. It's fantasy talk with Jim and Ted. No, but I had Fitzpatrick from Miami starting. That guy was horrible.
And then they bench him.
I have Matt Ryan sitting on the bench.
And he blows up.
He's been doing nothing and then puts up 42 points or whatever. I'm just like, really?
That's why I stay away from Matt Ryan, because he's just feast famine and you never know when he's going to.
Well, yeah, Prescott anyway. Was my man, and that guy was crushing it until he breaks his leg.
Yeah, until he got crushed.
Yeah, I mean, oh, God.
Oh, this is all better talk post-beer opening, so.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. What do you got today?
No, I think you go first.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Okay. I want you to go first.
So remember that song when you were a kid? The wheels on the bus go round and round. Well, yeah. I have the wheels.
I don't know that we have the rights to say that. Don't say anymore.
Oh, okay. Does that require rights? No, but I have a wheels on the bus IPA. It's a double IPA.
Ooh. What's that? It's like a whale on, like, swimming in the bus?
Yeah, it's 10.2% ABV.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it says a double hop triple IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Humble Sea Brewery out of Santa Cruz, California. So it's a sick. Oh, wow. Holy moly, does that sound smell amazing.
Nice.
And oh, it's hazy too.
Oh, sweet.
Double. That's what the H is, not double hop, double haze or something.
Double hazy.
Holy cow. I didn't expect a hazy. I'm not even a fan. Oh, wow. It smells so good, though. DDH, what do you think?
The haze is inconsequential.
Yeah, what do you think DDH is? Double?
I think it's got to be double dry hopped.
Double dry hopped, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
No, double DDH hop fused, triple IPA. So maybe double dry hazy hop fused. I don't know, whatever. But wow, the aroma, oh, it's like I just cut open a grapefruit.
Nice.
Oh, wow. It tastes nothing like a grapefruit, though. It's really good.
Awesome.
Man, it looks like milk. Look at this thing.
I know.
It's crazy.
That's cool. We said it before. Hazy doesn't really matter. It's all about the taste and the complexity and the nose and everything.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes hazy bothers me because, and maybe it's just the way the hazies I've had, but they're sometimes they come across as like super like fruity, citrusy, and those are the ones I don't like. But this is really good. I mean, it's bitter, it's sweet, but it doesn't have that like. I mean, it smells like a grapefruit. It tastes nothing like a grapefruit.
What's the IBUs on it? Does it say?
It doesn't say. I wish it did. Like I said though, 10.2% ABV. So I don't know. Are we in a war tonight? Is this an arms race or?
No. It's not an arms race. You won hands down.
Okay.
I actually got a couple beers. I found a new place in the valley. I figured I'm not gonna go all the way to Burbank every time I want a beer or a couple of beers or for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's a haul.
So I said, let me look up something that's close by. You know, something I can go to.
Ooh, a mistress
that's open, and you know, and I found this place. On the side and right at the corner of, I think it's Van Nuys and Ventura. It's called Valley Beverage Company. And I called them to just make sure they're open. They're like, we've been open through the whole thing. Don't worry about it. Come on in. I was like, oh,
got a lot of beer.
Got to wear a double mask and gloves in there. They don't sound like they care about the corona very much.
That's right.
But I went in there and man, they were just like stocked to the gills, their boxes in front of shelves.
Oh, I love when you see that.
And it's just like, and the people in there were all curmudgeon. They're all like pissed off. They're like, yeah, somebody was shopping there who's like a regular. And he's like, can I dig through your boxes? And he was, and all the people that work there were like pissed. They're like, sure, less for us to stock, you know? This is why we're going to be here all night, you know? And I'm like, sure, you're going to be here all night with the beer that you're stocking that you're going to let go away. And they have these cool little signs on the shelf and they're like, limit one. And then, right, it's a really long sign. It says, limit one. Okay, limit two. And then it says, never mind, limit one. And he's like, never, okay, you can have two. It was like all like this mental gymnastics on a sign.
And it's so funny. It's like, if I want to buy beer, I want to buy beer. Who cares how many? You guys are selling it. You guys are making money off of it, right?
No, it's hilarious. It was funny. So one of the reasons this guy that was a regular opened the box, he said, ooh, I see that Mind Circus in there. And I was like, ooh, is that good? And they're like, oh, yeah. It's a Russian river. And he said, you know, people leave the Pliny's behind, but this stuff flies off the shelf.
Really?
And I said, well, it's going to fly out of the box because out of a case, you just sold two without even stocking it. So there you go.
Wow. 2 weeks in a row, we referenced Pliny the Elder.
It is a very known quantity there.
Oh, Pliny's great. So this is, what is it called again? Mind?
It's called... Hold on, let me get a little. Okay. Mind Circus.
M-I-N-D? Oh,
mind, yeah, like in your head.
Okay.
And it shows like a crazy circus tent coming out of this guy's head.
Holy cow. So wait, your beer is going to put your head in a circus and the wheels on the bus. I mean, my head's going to be going round and round.
Oh, wow. Like just like you said, just like yours, this is like a fruit forward, a citrus feel, citrus smell, nose.
Okay. Is yours hazy? Yours looks hazy too.
Very hazy.
Wow, they look identical. This is weird.
Yeah. Beautiful, crisp IPA. We sometimes read these and sometimes we don't, but this one has a cool little quote on it. It says, this beer acknowledges everything that keeps us up at night. Maybe it's work, the kids, a project you've been procrastinating, or building a brewery. We all have our own versions of the Mind Circus.
I would read mine, but it's like 1 point font, so I can't see it anyway.
Oh, and then mine is 7% ABV.
I would say 7 is respectable.
Yeah.
6 is okay. So during the week, you know, I had to see what all the fuss was about, so I got some Coors Banquet.
Was that from Cobra Kai?
Oh, product placement worked on me.
I mean, Cobra Kai, he pounds so many banquets.
Can I say, though, I think I had like 7 of them one night.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, I might have started at 3 in the afternoon. I think I got home from work and I'm just like, I'm just going to have one. Boom, boom, boom. Because what we did was we, I boil typically when I make bratwurst, I boil the bratwurst in PBR. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I saw the Coors there and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to get some Coors Banquet and see what Cobra Kai has to say about it.
Kick the competition.
Kick the competition in the liver. You know, so I made my bratwurst, and as I'm cooking bratwurst, I'm drinking the Coors Banquet. And man, they go down way too easy.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, I think I had like 7 one night, you know?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They're like, I don't even know what they are. But they're not 10%, I can tell you that, because like by the time I was finished, I'm like, you know, I'm okay. I mean, like I'm slightly buzzed, you know? And I'm like, there's just... No wonder Johnny's pounding them. They go down too easy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, maybe I have some problems. I'm drinking 7 Coors, but. So other than like doing bratwurst and stuff, what you been up to this week?
Yeah, so this week it was interesting. I think just a little peek behind the curtain.
Ooh.
You typically edit, right?
And, oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, let me edit. You know, I have the new space and out
you the
here.
Time you know. And, you know, days and the evenings.
So I did the edit this week. And man, like, it's been a long time since I've done that because you took over early, early on and you've done such an amazing job at it. But I think anybody that has a podcast, if you split work and labor like that, definitely try it. Like once I was thinking for me, what should I ask Jimmy to edit? And maybe I do once a quarter, once every 4 or 5 months, like give me an episode for me to labor over. And then you can go clean it up with your highfalutin logic and all that stuff.
Logic too. They just sent me a survey and I said like, okay, this is what I would love to see in it. Cause they were like, so you've been using it and what, you know, what's your opinion? What would you like?
Mm-hmm.
So I put in my wish list. Essentially, I just typed what I wanted and I told them about it and stuff and how I use it. And I would say I could probably plow through an episode in about like 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And, you know, for a few reasons, though, a lot of it is like the keyboard shortcuts and I can run it, you know, like at a fast rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I say I run it at a fast rate, I mean like I can run it at like twice the speed.
You listen to it at 2x.
Exactly. Yeah. Or typically 1.75 or something. But the main thing is, though, I've after all these 125 episodes, let's say, of editing.
Yeah.
I have our quirks down so well that I can edit without even listening because I know what our sound waves look like or our wave file looks like.
Wow, that's a flex.
So I'm looking at it and I'm just like, bam, 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 bam. I just go through. I do the initial edit. I don't even listen to it. I just plow through based on visuals and I move everything around how it needs to be. And then I go through and I listen at like 1.5, 1.75, whatever. And I just do a quick cleanup.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And it's like, I mean, you're talking like an hour and 20 episode. For example, I probably get done in like 2.5 and I'm done.
Wow.
You know, and they turn out good every week.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And when you do a visual cut on the first one and you're cutting out our ticks and stuff, some of them, not all of them, because I definitely hear my stuff sometimes. But
yeah.
I think it's amazing because I was laboring over the strangest things. You know, you just get in your head sometimes and you're like, oh, should I cut out this little pause, this second of dead air? Or is it maybe it shows that we're thinking about something? I was just like way too long, like contemplating these kinds of things.
Well, so. And here's the funny thing, though. It's like some of the our little quirks, before every sentence, I almost say, so. So, I don't know how many times I cut out. So a thing you do before you speak a lot is you always like smack your lips. You always go.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, you do that. So I'm like cutting those things out because like it just drives everybody crazy. You know what I mean? And I say like a lot, uh-huh. But man, do I cut out a ton of likes. So it's pretty funny, though, when you go through it and you do these edits and it gets to the point where if I didn't cut it out and cram it together and move things around and make it flow well, oh, God, it would be torturous to listen to us. And then we stop and we're like, oh, what's the guy? He's got the beard, you know, the guy with the forehead wrinkles, you know, and we sit there and we contemplate stuff for like 10 minutes trying to figure out a character's name
yeah.
or an actor's name, I guess. And then it's like, but when you listen to it, like it just flows like we're just on it. So
the, well, don't give all of our secrets.
I know. But people, you know, it's the magic of editing, right?
Yeah. It's beautiful.
I remember one time when I was at Warner Brothers with my cousin and the sound engineer dude was taking us on a tour. Uh-huh. He was showing us the Foley room. He was showing us like all kinds of stuff they do. And he said they do Foley for everything. I'm like, everything? You know, somebody's brushing their teeth, they're doing Foley? He said everything. Because you got to remember, the movies are larger than life. And I'm just like, yeah, I guess so. And now I watch movies and I see the most mundane shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that had to have been done in the Foley. It's incredible. So when you think about like editing and all that stuff, like, yeah, nothing's real. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I mean, hell, look at our, like all the videos on YouTube about elections and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of deep fake out there. Yeah.
Like the deep fakes. Yeah, that's what you call it. The deep fakes, the fake news stuff, whatever you want to call it. And you're just like, this is awful. It's too easy.
With COVID, they had the Hulu has live sports ad campaign where they have Saquon Barkley and Baker Mayfield. But they just have their heads on somebody else's body and they kind of make fun of it like these skinny people running around in their football uniforms.
Yeah, exactly.
Deep fake. I'm deep fake Saquon Barkley. So that was my week, basically, was trying to muddle through something and then I handed it off to you and you're like, just neaten it up. Thank you. But what was your week? You did brats?
Yeah, the brats. That was just about the beer. But, you know, I mean, honestly, it was like a really slow week as far as any excitement in my life. Have you ever used Flux, F.Lux on your computer?
No. What is that?
It sets up your computer. So if you're having a hard time sleeping, for example, it might be that there's too much blue light before bedtime.
Yeah.
So you put it on your computer, and if you're working late, it adjusts based on sunset, and it changes the color of your computer screen. So, like, the later you work, the redder it gets and everything. And, like, right now, you're, like, blood red. Mm-hmm. It's almost annoying. It doesn't even look real. So I'm going to have to turn...
But it's better for your eyes, though.
Well, it's not that it's better for your eyes. It's better for your brain.
Okay.
So the blue light keeps you alert. You know what I mean? So it's, like, mm-hmm. blue light for on a computer screen would be, like, sunlight. It's like, oh, it's daytime. I need to be awake. And then when you go to bed, it's hard to fall asleep. So what this does is if you're working late on the computer, whatever you're doing, it adjusts the light to the point where your brain recognizes that it's getting sleepy and needs to go to bed, and it doesn't keep you at that heightened state of alertness. So I put that on. Kind of the funny thing about it is I'm never on my computer past like 7, so I don't even know what the point is.
except for podcasting.
Except
nights.
For podcasting. Right now I got to turn it off because like you're like, like I said, you're like blood orange. No, I put it on my computer like years ago and I didn't like it. And I thought maybe I'll try it again. Uh-huh. And it's bizarre looking because of the color. It's kind of like when you look at golden hour as the sun's going down.
Oh, yeah.
That's how your computer screen looks, you know?
Like a sepia tone, like a...
Kind of, yeah. That's a good way to put it. You know, but I don't know. We'll see. If I find I get better, if I get more restful sleep, then, you know, I will highly recommend it, but okay, the verdict's cool. Still out. But other than that excitement, you know, I don't really have a whole lot going on. Oh, no, I take that back.
Here it is.
Dropping off the boys one morning. You know, we have our cargo bikes.
Uh-huh.
So I hop on Highway 1 going up the hill. You know, the Highway 1 people take vacations on, right, when they want to go up the coast.
Yes. Where you cleaned up trash last week.
Exactly. So I'm going up Highway 1. All of a sudden, I'm like, man, back wheel, like, I feel a little squishy in the rear. I'm like, I look down. I'm like, oh, I'm cool.
Uh-oh.
I'm about 3/4 mile from the off-ramp, and I'm going up the hill. Man, I just hit turbo and went for it. Had a flat. So I was like, oh, man. So I got to the point, the tire's coming off. And
oh, no.
The tube was wrapped around the rotor and everything because I tried... So finally, I had to hop off and I walk it all the way off the off ramp. And there's like a hotel that's being renovated. So I pull in that parking lot. I call Clarissa and she's about to leave for work. And I've saved her for flat tires like 3-4 times already.
Yeah.
So I said, Clarissa, I got a flat. You got to come save me and they got to rescue me. go in the shop and grab like these tools and the pump and blah, 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 blah. So she gets all this stuff. She leaves. She's I mean, 10 minutes away. I'm not far from home. Like, everything's close.
Everything's close.
Exactly. But she rides over, you know, like off some hilly rural kind of road, and she catches up to me, and she, you know, I don't know, 20 minutes later, like a regular road bike, I could probably have it changed in 3 minutes, no big deal. But this thing's like a cargo bike. I got to unbolt this. I got to mess around. It's a pain in the butt, you know. So I said, you know, why don't you call work? Tell me it might be a little bit late. So she calls work, and it's no big deal. So we get all set up. And I was on my way to the office, and I'm like, screw it, man. Like, all these problems arose on top of that. So I went straight home. I worked from home that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It was like a flat tire and a cargo bike. I mean, those bikes are amazing until you get a flat tire.
I got a flat tire this week, too. That's funny. On my bike that I ride with Bryce every morning, and on... was it Wednesday or Thursday morning? I got a flat, and I was just like,
"How far from home were you?"
We only do a couple miles, so we're a mile out.
Well, a couple miles on foot though, that sucks.
No, I just rode it back. I was like,
"Oh, okay."
I was like, you know, it was like losing air, and I was like, "Oh, we can make it or whatever." And by the time we got back, it was just flat, and I was like, "Oh, I hope I don't hit the rim," you know. So
yeah,
I
just, and then you get a flat I kind of leaned
forward onto my good tire just to take some weight off of it. And of course, you know, you can't take, it's only two tires. It's not like I was unicycling home or something, but
did you figure out what caused the flat, like a nail or something?
No, I have no idea. Yeah. No idea.
Yeah.
I mean, those tubes are old, so whatever.
All right, man. Well, hey, I'll tell you what. So me and it's a little bit of what we're watching, but no big deal because we've already watched it. So we're finishing up The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With the boys and the fam because the second season is coming out. And we have a special look at The Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you sent me the trailer.
Oh, yeah. The trailer. Yes. It's called Special Look, but it's a trailer.
Right. The special look. Right. We talked about The Mandalorian Season 2 in Episode 130.
Uh-huh.
So watching the special look tonight, I don't really see... it's like a watered-down version of the trailer. What am I missing?
I thought it was new.
Or are you just teasing for Season 2 coming out?
I was hyped for Season 2.
Okay.
I thought it was new. It was new to the space. It definitely had a lot of what it had, of what the trailer had. I felt like it showed more. But maybe I'm wrong. We can compare.
Well, the trailer was like 240 or something. This is 1 minute.
Oh, okay.
So it can't show more.
Well, if it's different stuff, it can show more.
Well, different stuff, yeah. It showed a lot of the same, not because I went back and I watched that other one.
Uh-huh.
I would say the official trailer is very trailer-like. It's very trailer-esque. It shows the beginning and it's like, you know, it has the ship, Mando's ship. There's no speaking and everything. I think the special look jumps into it. And I think it's just a marketing piece to just hype what's coming next week on the 30th.
That it's coming right around the corner.
Yeah.
And it's funny. You guys were rewatching it, right?
We are. Yeah.
Yeah. We're in the middle of rewatching it as well. So
okay,
we're about 5 episodes in and we're going to probably plow through it, the rest of it this weekend.
Yeah. We just finished episode 7. We'll be done by the weekend too.
So, I mean, I guess I just, maybe you're right. I just saw this, thought it was new. And I guess my fish like my goldfish like memory was like, oh, this is brand new because it just hit like StarWars.com or something, the Star Wars channel on YouTube.
Well, and here's the funny thing. So Clarissa was saying because they show Carl Weathers and Gina, what's her name? I don't remember.
Yeah, MMA Gina. Yeah.
Yeah, the wrestler woman.
Uh-huh.
And they have the scene where they're like walking.
Yeah.
And Clarissa's like, no, see, that scene wasn't there. I'm like, yes, it was. So we went back, we watched the trailer and it shows that scene because she said, oh, no, she's still on that island or that island planet or whatever. And
Anne said the exact same thing. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I said, no, it's on the trailer. We went and watched the trailer, and that scene is in the trailer, too. Oh, so
that's crazy.
Nothing really is
nothing
new.
And that's one of them that Anne identified as something new, and I definitely thought it was new. I didn't do side by side, so yeah. Was the ship in distress in the trailer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was flying over the planet and it showed one of his jets flickering out.
Yeah, and the door is open, the bay door is open and the jet's flickering. And I was like, I don't recall that in the original. Okay, so I'm just a bad.
Yeah, it's coming out in a week. And it's like, hey, from a marketing standpoint, like, let's get excited. Here it comes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that works, I guess, that people are clamoring for it. People need this right now, so.
That's right. I know. I'm excited. So week two in a row, talking dragons.
Yes. I know this is new.
Well, this is new, yes. Raya and the Last Dragon. I mean, once, you know, you had Clarissa at Dragon. So what I was wondering, though, I don't know if the opening of this trailer is such that it's COVID compliant because she has the mask and everything. And it's like sending the message to kids like masks are cool. It's the thing we're doing nowadays because it starts off the first scene of her face is with the mask.
Yeah.
But then she sees the roly-poly, takes the mask off, turns into a mask hole. And it's like, well, what if the roly-poly gets COVID?
Well, you would actually get the roly-poly. You get it if you ate the roly-poly raw. That's how you get the COVID.
Oh, is that how that works? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's cool to wear a mask, I guess.
I think it's cool that, you know, it kind of missed, you know, I was hoping it would. It's not out till March of next year and supposedly in the theaters as they are. They're saying they're just hoping and betting and, you know, hoping for the best. But I think they're ready for next Halloween. If there's, please to God, say by next Halloween we're out of this. But if we're not,
okay,
then we have the number one costume for the season with, you know, Rhea with her mask.
Well, can I say something, though, about, like, if you go back to the early days of Trailer Junkies?
Yes.
We would do movies that came out. Well, I should say we would do trailers for movies that were coming out 6, 8, 10, 12 months lead time.
Right.
Only in the coronavirus time with all the streaming stuff are we doing lead times of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Raya and the Last Dragon is like what the way it ought to be.
It feels like it's the proper timeline.
The way it typically otherwise would be. I mean, all this Netflix,
yes.
The trailer drops next week, the episode's out. I mean, like, that's just modern day, like, trailer dropping, I guess. I don't know.
And I mean, just like last week when I said that the trial of the Chicago 7 was already out, you were shocked.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's like we covered it and you're like, all right, I watched it. I'm like, wait, we just covered it. What do you
it's
mean
like
you
two
watched
weeks ago,
it?
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm used to like we covered it and then like 9 months later, oh, yeah, I watched that movie that we covered 9 months ago. You know, so I think this might be, well, at least attempting to get back into that time frame, that time where the trailer drops.
It's a rhythm and a cadence of anticipation and looking forward to things.
Exactly. You have the teaser trailer, official trailer 1, trailer 2, maybe a trailer 3, and then, you know, there's other things, other marketing pieces that come out. Yeah, 9 months later, there it is. And then maybe we watch it 10 or 11 months later, and it's like you're looking at a year lead time from when we talked about an episode. 50 episodes of ours later, I saw that movie. You know, it's like,
yeah, and it, like if heaven forbid we don't see it in the theater, then it's another 4 months, you know, tack on top of that.
Oh yeah, you're talking like 65 episodes later. It's like we talk about it. It's like old. It's like way old news from when we first brought it up. You know.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, I think the trailer looks good. I mean, it's the animation and, you know, the storytelling. I think the trailer itself does a good job informing the potential audience of the story that they're going to see. I mean, it's
packed with, you know, action, anticipation, and has this mystery to it that is just like, I think it's everything that movies used to be. Audrey was kind of taken aback by the whole the storytelling that she does in the beginning. She felt like it was very Frozen. And then they had the legacy cards in there with the from the people who brought you Frozen. And she goes, see, see? And I was like, all right.
Oh, here
all
we
right,
go
little,
again.
All right, little Jim, chill out over there with your victory laps.
With regard to, you know, Frozen and everything, I thought it's a typical Disney trailer.
Yeah.
Where they, the way they introduce the lead character, you have that strong female role.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it does have that Frozen vibe, that Disney vibe, and you kind of beat me to the punch a little bit, because when her head turns, you know, that opening scene with the mask and everything, I mean, that's, I think, your stereotypical Disney introduction to the lead role.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over and over again. I mean, you've seen it in Aladdin and you've seen it in so many movies that, you know, that Disney puts out, but I think it works, you know, it works for him. It's like, here's an introduction. Here's the character.
Right.
And then we're going to have the little, like, you know, the silly character. You're going to see the evolution of the silly character, like in the case of the roly-poly. And then at the end, the roly-poly is like this enormous thing. And yeah. And that's kind of like, if you want to think about Aladdin, for example, you're looking at the parrot.
Yeah. Yeah. Iago. And a poo, right? A poo, too.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a total Disney trailer. I mean, it screams Disney. Where the Animaniacs, on its face, looked Disney. It's not Disney.
No.
But let me back up about the week really quick. So yeah. Clarissa was laughing listening to our episode this week because I was talking about how I told you in the episode how I thought of Audrey when she was, you know, like guessing the next line.
Right, right. I'm glad Clarissa listened to the whole thing because that's at the end.
Oh, she listens every week. Yeah, no, number one fan. So she was laughing because she's like, oh, you do that every week to me, or every time we watch something, you're always trying to guess lines.
Yeah.
And you're always, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's a bad habit. My grandfather used to do that. And I don't know, I picked it up from him, I guess. But yeah, so she was laughing because I do that all the time. And then she hears Audrey does that all the time. And and yeah, it was pretty cute.
Awesome.
So Animaniacs.
Animaniacs. I love it.
What made you choose this one?
Were you not? I'm a huge Animaniacs fan.
Okay. Can I say something about it?
Tell me.
Tonight's the first night I heard about it when I watched the trailer.
You've never heard of Animaniacs, the original Animaniacs?
No, but I look up there and I do one of these things. I go like, Animaniacs? Like just to myself.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Clarissa hears me across the house. She starts singing the theme song from like the 90s. I'm like, you know the song? Like, I was so surprised.
Uh-huh.
She said, oh, yeah, I was a huge fan in the 90s. I'm thinking, the 90s? What?
Yeah.
So we watched it, of course, and the bronies will be satisfied.
The My Little Pony adult men fans
in their diapers. Yeah, when they show the unicorn, yeah. My first thought was bronies.
Yeah. Enough talky talky, more flappy flappy. Come on, that's so great. Like the one liners
so creepy.
and the liners that these people come up with for the show is just insanely inventive. It's some of the funniest stuff that I watched as, you know, as a young adult, because I guess, you know, we were not children at this time, but it wasn't made solely for children. It was one of these bridge shows that was like, it was in the 90s, right? So we're in high school and college and stuff, and it was still, you know, in our wheelhouse. So I don't know. I'm surprised you missed it. You're a little bit older than us, but not too much older.
I might have been like on the back end for the age range or something. But no, I never heard of it, though. I had no idea. And she's singing the theme song. You know, I like how it's that 90s show, that 90s twist, but they bring in the modern day social media stuff, the Facebook look, you know, and all that sort of thing, and the social media twist, and the social media twist. Okay.
The social media.
Whatever I'm saying there. But But you know what? The funny thing is, my first thought was, I know why Ted put this on here.
Why?
He wants me to reboot Hulu.
You know, and I keep saying it. I keep saying, like, too bad it's on Hulu. Like, I feel bad. Like, I will never.
Oh, it ain't that big of a deal.
Yeah, I'll never get rid of Hulu.
Oh, no, we're going to. I mean, Hulu's great. Hulu has a ton of good stuff. It was just the only reason I paused it is because we were going a couple months not using it. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to finish the shows on these other networks.
Yeah.
Or, you know, well, streaming networks, I guess.
Yeah.
And when I'm done there and I go back to Hulu, I mean, whatever, I'll save myself $25.
That's right. So, but I didn't do that because of this, but I did like the idea of the way Wacko kind of leads into the whole, no, is it Yakko? Yakko. The way Yakko leads into the whole, the whole front end of the trailer and how he talks about dignity kind of, you know, it's almost like the Singing in the Rain skit. Have you seen that Singing in the Rain bit when they talk about dignity, always dignity? And they cut to them doing vaudeville.
No, I never saw Animaniacs. Of course I
didn't. No. But Singing in the Rain. You know Singing in the Rain.
Oh, I know Singing in the Rain.
Yeah. So do you know when he's standing on the red carpet and he's giving her a little interview and he goes, in my early time, it was always about dignity, you know, dignity, always dignity. And then they shows them in vaudeville and how they're just like hamming it up.
You got to say it proper. Vaudeville.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to sell at the beginning, where they're like, you know, the reboots are too much. The reboots are, you know, have gone too far. And he's railing against it. And then Hulu walks in this big check, you know, this novelty check, and he hands it over to them. And it's the whole reason. And then the whole pile of cash drops in the back. And it's this huge idea of just like, we're going for a cash grab, but let's be honest about it, and, you know.
And Singing in the Rain, what was that, Gene Kelly or something?
Yes, Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor.
Wait, don't tell me you have a movie poster.
I have a movie poster, Singing in the Rain, right over there.
That's amazing. And was it Debbie Reynolds?
Debbie Reynolds, yep. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. I knew I watched these movies with my grandma one too many times.
I actually met Debbie Reynolds once. She was, she wasn't auditioning, or she was coming into the office. We were doing a Dennis the Menace reboot. Talk about reboots. And she was playing Mrs. Wilson, so the neighbor's wife. And she was in there, and I got to, you know, get her some water and something. And I was like, oh, Miss Reynolds, I, you know, love singing. And, you know, it's kind of weird to say that to somebody who's like old and, you know, completely different.
Well, she died in 2016. I'm looking up here.
Yeah. No, this is like 20, this is like 15 years ago or something like that.
Where did you meet her? Here in town?
Yeah. I was working over at Sneak Preview Entertainment. So a different production company. And they were producing Dennis the Menace reboot.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So you're going to watch this when you get Hulu back. You'll probably put this on. Maybe Clarissa will lobby to get some Hulu back when this comes out.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that was the other thing, too. She said, oh, this would be so cool. And then the boys could watch it. I'm like, are you sure? You know, I think it has the appearance of, you know, children because of the animation and so on.
It'll go straight over their head. They'll enjoy some of the stuff.
Totally.
And then some of the stuff will go over there. There was a character in it called Hello Nurse. And every time Wacko and Yakko would see her, they'd say, "Hello, nurse," and it's a hot nurse.
and they kind of carry her
around and stuff. It's funny, you know. And then the Dot character, she's always like put down upon, but she always stands up for herself. So she's this great, you know, woman empowerment kind of thing, you know, pre Me Too. So I'm interested if they handle some Me Too stuff in this space. You know, it feels like they would.
Even in a lot of the Pixar things and so on, you go to watch him, there's a lot of adult humor that the kids are oblivious to.
Right.
And I don't know, I guess that's what hits the four quadrants, right? Because...
Exactly.
Yeah, because the kids are like, I don't know what Dad's laughing at, but I'm laughing at, like, you know, Tomater's teeth.
Well, I was literally going back to... I was going to say the same thing. Didn't they say, check out her tailpipes or something like that? I think they said something like that. She has like a trunk decal or something, and it's like a tramp stamp or something. Right?
Yeah, and when he says, like, you know, he has the piston cup, whatever it is, and it's like, he pissed in what? You know, it's like, I mean, that's the stuff I'm crying over, and the boys are like, okay, so what? It's the piston cut. Like, and it's so funny, though, how like a certain age range does not pick up on the piston cup, but the adults pick up on the piston cup.
Yeah, Animaniacs definitely hits the quadrants. It hits all the quadrants. You'll have some nostalgia sell for us. It'll have adult humor for the millennials.
Okay, I'm convinced.
and it's, you know, and there is some educational stuff in there. I think they did all the 50 states and all the capitals and stuff, and they did all the countries of the world, I think. So
wow.
they've done these songs, and they write tons of songs. So I can't wait for the music stuff that they have.
Okay, I got to reboot Hulu. That's it.
Well, you should check up on all the old stuff, because you know the old stuff's great too, and it's classic. They did slim down a little bit. Animaniacs used to have a huge slate of other characters. And one thing that I don't think they're bringing back, because they basically said, we're bringing back the Animaniacs, which is, you know, with the Warner Brothers and the Warner Sister Dot. And then they're bringing back Pinky and the Brain.
That one I've heard of.
So Pinky and the Brain is like a little, they're vignettes within the episode. The episode usually has.
Oh, okay.
The episode usually has the Warner siblings getting into hijinks. And then between the hijinks, they play small episodes of these other shows.
Got it. Okay.
So it looks like they're only bringing back Pinky and the Brain, but there was this great, the one that I liked a lot that I'm sad that I didn't see here is called the Good Feathers.
That one I don't know.
So the Good Feathers, they're a bunch of pigeons in New York and they act like mobsters. So it's like they all these pigeons strutting around and talking about, pulling
a
heist and stuff. And yeah. So it's the Good Feathers, and they're, you know,
the Good
they all talk like they're from Goodfellas, and
the
all,
Good Feathers.
The Good Feathers. That's hilarious. So we'll see. We'll see if they sprinkle that in or if they cameo that. So who knows?
Did you have a massive week of watching this week?
No, I didn't. I spent a lot of the week watching and rewatching Umbrella Academy.
Oh, okay.
I think I finished Umbrella Academy 3 or 4 times.
Why rewatching?
Because I would fall asleep, and then in the morning it would say, you finished watching Umbrella Academy. Here's the next thing. I'm like, nope, I didn't. Here's the last thing I kind of remember.
You're like, it just kept going, and Umbrella Academy was watching me.
For sure. So I'm almost at the end of Umbrella Academy. Hold on, let me get my notes.
All right. Well, while you're getting your notes, I'll go over what we've been watching. So
okay, cool.
we did the Chicago 7, the trial of the Chicago 7. Extremely good. It was fantastic. Sacha Baron Cohen, remarkable.
Both of those things.
He was remarkable. I mean, he was Abby Hoffman. If you go on Google, search Google images of Abby Hoffman, and you search, Abby Hoffman, of course, and then you watch this, and you see Sacha Baron Cohen. Incredible how this guy looks. They're like twins.
Yeah.
It is shocking. You know, I would have liked to have seen more Michael Keaton.
Right.
You know, I get the character he played and the character didn't have a huge role in the story. I understand that, but I would have liked to have seen more of him.
I mean, he's Batman, so, you know, you always want to see more of Batman.
He was Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton was Beetlejuice. I mean, that's amazing, right?
Totally. What is he?
He was Mr. Mom, for crying out loud. He goes from, like, Mr. Mom... 110, 115, whatever it takes, or whatever the hell that line is.
Yeah, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Now he's like an attorney general to the point where he's, I don't know, the Chicago 7. They're star witness.
Star witness. He doesn't give F's to anybody, you know?
Yeah, no, it was fantastic, though. I mean,
had no F's to give.
You know, I liked how they wove in the actual footage kind of stuff. They did that.
Oh, yeah.
I think seamlessly. I don't know if they did enough of it. I would have liked to have seen more of the actual footage. Overall, though, I mean, I think the story, you know what I liked about it, too? It was the story of the trial and not the story about what they did.
Right.
Which, if it was a story about what they did, I think that would have took away from the actual story of the trial,
right?
And the judge.
Oh, What a despicable human
being.
That
guy was a piece of work.
Yeah, and I mean, and Bobby Seale's story within this story, like, he's a minor character, but the trials that he kind of goes through in on trial was just so phenomenal. And the way that he's supported by his co-defendants, and is just this amazingness of, you know, it is the best way to tell this story. So I, you know, applaud Aaron Sorkin for doing it this way.
You know, the funny thing is, what I love the way they showed the trial judge, he comes across as like this racist dude or whatever.
The bigot, yeah.
Yeah, this old time, yeah, white, racist, prejudiced, bigoted kind of guy. But at the same time, I wouldn't even go so far as to say that. I would say he was a part of the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even about the Black Panthers and the black guy. It was about anybody who was not towing the line of the age. If you were anti-Vietnam, you were an enemy.
Right.
If you were anything other than, you know, well, I mean, McCarthyism and all that stuff. That guy was straight out of McCarthyism in the 50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would, I think he would have attacked, you know, John Lennon for being a communist. And, you know, he was that kind of
a
judge,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then now you add on a black guy to that scenario. So not only is he prejudiced against anybody who's not, like, you know, a conservative in favor of or supportive of Vietnam, now you add on a black guy, that just adds gasoline onto the fire of what this guy's prejudices are about.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I thought the judge did a great job because he played the role. Like, he has me believing he's a racist or something.
Of course. Yeah. No, he's a great what's his name? Frank Langella. He's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
So he did have me hating his character and hating him through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. You think he's like, if I didn't know any better, I'd think he's just like an asshole judge. Right.
But my favorite thing too was it was this great story of the crossroads of generations. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was like the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s all like colliding together. You know.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, and I think when you look at that era, things slowed down. I mean, if you look at the development of technology as an example, it took decades to get any change in the type of television that you had in your house.
Right.
You know, I mean, and then all of a sudden, as technology progresses, things progress faster. And I think social change and so on, because maybe nowadays with social media, the internet and stuff, it's a little bit different. But I think back then, though, the 50s, 60s, and 70s, when you look at social change, and I know within there you had Lyndon Johnson and you had 1964 and the Civil Rights Act and you had all that kind of stuff. But I mean, you know, you had times when laws were written and a law was enacted. But the buildup to get that law and the aftermath after that law was written, the time frame was so slow and the social change was so slow that, I mean, it was decades before you saw any change.
Right.
Where now I think things change way more rapidly, even though nothing's changing, if you know what I mean.
Everything's more entrenched.
Right.
These
yeah.
days.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's
yeah,
put
and I think people's resistance to change just becomes more and more entrenched, and yet the things, the technology that can foster change has actually fostered this entrenchment. So it's kind of a strange dichotomy of
yeah, it's like things change super rapid, yet we become more anchored in our beliefs or something.
Right. It's yeah, we've made great strides in technology, and rather than allowing us to free ourselves and to be more mobile, we've actually dug deeper holes for ourselves to wallow in.
So, okay, you left me with two things to go with there, and I don't know which, so I'm going to do both. Uh-huh. Entrenched and deeper holes. Clarissa reminded me that I didn't watch The Cabin.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to watch the first, the opening of episode 2.
That's right.
When he's waxing his ass. So speaking of entrenched and the deep hole, and that wax thing is like completely within the trench. All we did, I didn't know what to expect, right? Uh-huh, uh-huh. So I'm like, all right, I'll put this on. And of course, the boys are walking through the room.
Oh, no.
I wasn't expecting a nutsack shot.
A very poorly poorly pixelated nutsack.
Yeah, it was. I didn't expect that at all. I didn't know whose ass was, and I'm thinking like ass cheek.
Nope.
I didn't think in the crack, the entrenchment that Ted's talking about.
But it grabs you, doesn't it? It grabs you.
So I'm like, okay, we're done. So the boys were in. I'm like, we're done. So I stopped it. I said, Clarissa, this is the next trainer show we're going to watch. So, and they're like 20 minutes, 22 minutes.
Yeah, you get three of them knocked out in a trainer.
Yeah, like an hour up, an hour on the trainer, and boom, you're done, you know? So I told her, because we watched The Good Place. We watched three episodes of The Good Place this morning. Uh-huh. So we kind of dabble, like we put our toes in, we jump in, we jump out, and with The Good Place, I don't know. It's like, I can only handle so much of that show. It's so annoying. It's okay. And it's like after a few months, I could do a couple episodes. Then I got to put, it's like a few months, I could do a couple episodes.
Yeah.
But I told her, I said, all right, The Cabin, man, like it is Idiocracy to the maximum. I don't know. What did we watch? Like 17 seconds of this episode? And I'm just like, okay, it makes me want to see more. I don't know why it does. Caitlyn Jenner comes walking up and and it's just so, so bizarre. What did I miss? nothing. it's like, what? This is so weird.
Speaking of bodily stuff, though, I did finish What We Do in the Shadows. And
cool. And wait, the whole thing. You finished the whole thing. And the Witches episode was great.
The Witches episode is definitely one of the best.
Oh, it's great.
And then, it's so multifaceted. So The Witch is a great standalone episode.
Yeah.
But I would say that Colin Robinson is my favorite of all the vampires.
Oh, 100%. I love it.
I mean, the fact that he walks around and it's so funny. I was talking to a coworker and he was like, I don't know why, this other person just like, it always takes so much out of me, to talk to that other person. And I was like, do you watch What We Do in the Shadows? And they were like, no, it's on the list. And so then I just sent a clip of Colin. And they're like, oh, my God, that's exactly what the problem is.
Like at my work, I have it another way. There's like if you go in the teacher's break room or something, everybody's in there just like moaning about one thing or another.
Yeah.
And they're definitely energy vampires. But I've always until this, I didn't really think of energy vampires. I always thought of emotional vampires.
Right, right.
And they suck like. They do suck the energy out of you. They suck the energy out of the room. But like when it's done, you're like emotionally drained and you're like, oh, my God, like I'm so just exhausted from being around that
person. Well, that's that whole Evie episode. The Evie episode is Colin's like walking around and he finds out there's a new person in the office. And he's like, when you get him before this place really grinds him down, you get some really fresh energy. And he walks over to her and she's completely unfazed because she's a higher caliber energy vampire because she's an emotional vampire. And he's like, Evie, emotional vampire. And they have this, remember that face off where they're like floating at each other? Like,
yes. Yeah.
It took it to this next level that is just like, it is a must watch show for anyone that works in an office because everyone has worked with an emotional vampire. Energy vampire.
Before this show came out, obviously there was The Office, and anybody who's ever worked in an office and you watch The Office, like you could totally buy into The Office.
Right. You know the people, those archetypes are people that you've worked with. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. And then you watch What We Do in the Shadows, and I think it hits like, I don't know, maybe three quadrants or something. And it's like the people who like fantasy, the people who like, you know, monsters and vampires and and whatever, that, you know, zombies and whatever goes along with that. But then it if you dig deeper, though, and you just watch it for what it is, there's a lot of
subtext.
Yeah, like the office type person, you know, or people in your community that you know who, okay, vampires that we know of don't exist, right? But we know people who behave like vampires.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's...
Daywalkers.
Daywalkers, whatever. And I love, though, I don't remember, I saw it a long time ago, and I don't remember the guy's names, but the guy who wants to become...
Oh, right. I forget his name, too, because he's meant to be forgettable, so you forget his name, but you know that he kicks ass wherever he goes, you know?
Yeah, he's a vampire slayer, but then... He's the familiar for the the main vampire, and the guy's like, he's like hovering him above, but when you see a mirror, it looks like he's flying. I mean, the show is so brilliant, you know. And what I love too is when Colin comes in and the witches and everything, and nobody wants him.
Yeah.
it's so well written.
Guillermo, you know, Guillermo de la Cruz.
Guillermo, that's who it is. And I, you know, and sometimes we'll be doing stuff, and I'll just tell Clarissa, you know, that I'll just be calling her like Natasha or something. No, is it Natasha? What is it?
Nadia.
That's what it is. Nadia. I'll be like, okay, Nadia, and she just laughs at me, you know, and yeah. But the orgy scenes, and I mean, it is so hilarious. Yeah. When the dude's coming down with the big strap on, I mean, that is pure classic television. Pure classic.
And to counterpoint that, I think I watched Moana a little bit too. So
you got to go the other direction, right?
I watched Moana. We watched Mandalorian that we talked about already. And then I watched a little Carmen Sandiego with the kids.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, we also watched Don Treader. Have you watched that? I
haven't not heard of Don Treader.
It's a Narnia, one of the Narnia books, C.S. Lewis.
Now, is it live action or is it animated?
It's live action, yeah.
Okay.
They made three of them. I think they made The Lion, the Witch, and the Robe Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, and The Don Treader. So they made three out of the seven or nine books or whatever it is.
Now, is it the same cast?
Yes. The main kids are the same cast. They take place in different realms of Narnia, so they don't have the same supporting cast, but yeah, a lot of it is the same people. So it's
okay.
It's cool. Those three, we really wish they would make the rest of them, but I don't know that I think they kind of petered out on their popularity.
Yeah. Or the budgets or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I guess the budget's irrelevant if it's popular, if it's going to sell, I mean, who cares, right?
Exactly. Well, I think you're right. The budget could not support how middle of the road popular it was, you know?
Right. All right, man. Well, hey, it sounds like you guys had a good week watching some stuff. Not as much as last week, but yeah, I mean,
that's right.
No, I mean, plowing through three seasons of a series too, though, that's a lot of TV to watch.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, for you to do that in a week is like, I mean, I have to commend you. You know, that's just amazing. I think it might have taken us a couple of months to get through that show.
Yeah.
And how fitting, too, like right before Halloween.
Right before Halloween. Oh, and you know, the last thing I will say that I started to rewatch it. So because I started watching Umbrella Academy and I started falling asleep to it, I'm like, ugh, why should I fall asleep to something that I want to watch and I have to figure out where I stopped? So when I found myself falling asleep, I put on Ted Lasso. I said, I already watched it. You know what I mean? I'll just put it on and I'll watch a little bit of it and then I'll fall asleep and it'll watch me. And that's okay because I've seen it already. I've seen everything. So now I think to put myself to sleep, I will put on some Ted Lasso.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I could. You know what, man? I can't function the way you function. I need to have earplugs and, you know, everything's off. The room's black, you know, and I mean, I kick the dog out, you know, Clarissa's lucky I let her stay. Yeah, I can't do it because
no distractions.
No, I mean, like if I'm watching something, I mean, I'm just like pegged. I'm just there. I'm with it. I can't fall asleep to watching anything. I mean, it's like sometimes I envy people who could do that stuff, and then other times I'm like, no, hell no, man. I got to go to bed. Turn it all off. Do my night routines.
Speaking of which, are you segueing out of the show by saying night routine?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. All right, Ted.
We'll talk again.
All right. Episode 135, over and out.
In the books. See ya.
All right, man. Later.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.